Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
I want to welcome up our speaker today, and I've heard this message twice today, and it is absolutely brilliant. We are launching our season of encounter, and today I want to encourage you to lean in, be expectant, because Pastor Ken Lee has a phenomenal word for us this afternoon. So why don't we give him a huge welcome this afternoon?
We would love to your campus, Pastor. Pastor Rick Bassett, come on, would you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. Would you lift your hands? Lift your hands right across this room. Father, we're just so grateful to you for your wonderful presence. May we never take these moments for granted. Father, we ask, Lord, right now that as we take this outward posture of lifting our hands, may it be a reflection of our inner attitude towards you. And we say, Holy Spirit, would you come? We are so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you don't look at our performance, that you don't look at our behavior. But Holy Spirit, you come because we open our hearts up in faith to you. Today I pray that you'll honor every person who's hungry. Would you fill us to overflowing today? In Jesus' name. And everyone said, can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Stay standing. Stay standing. I want to read the Word of God tonight. Matthew chapter 25. You can put this passage up on the screen. Verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. Say extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. Verse 7, all the bridesmaids got up and all prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough oil for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you, so you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. Turn to someone and say, give me oil in my lamp. High five someone before you sit down. Say, it's great to have you here tonight. Grab your seat. Can we give the musicians a big hand? Myrie, 4 p.m. You guys are awesome. Can we have some house lights? It's just a little bit funky, this lighting tonight for me. Thank you, Adrian. I'm going to put my teacher's hat on tonight. Is that okay? I'm going to do some flat-out teaching tonight, and I'm going to just unpack this Word of God, and we happen upon this parable. It's a parable because it's a story that tries to convey biblical truth using earthly means. I love reading parables. I've actually been on a little bit of a red letter journey. For those of you that own a paper Bible, you would have in some of your Bible editions red letters where Jesus speaks. And I've been reading the words of Jesus, and I've particularly been drawn to parables. Parables, I reckon, are like Jesus telling heaven's truths with earthly language. It's incredibly powerful. And so Jesus was conveying to the early hearers these incredible unseen or divine truths by using earthly metaphors, earthly things, things that we can relate to and we can understand. Here in Matthew chapter 25, all the way down to verse 13, speaks of this really powerful parable, if you like, and all scholars agree that the last two verses of this parable, verse 12 and verse 13, have an eschatological conversation. In other words, Jesus speaks about the end of times. We believe as believers that Jesus has already come because we're New Testament believers, but we also believe that Jesus is coming back again. Yeah. That is our belief. And so Jesus gives insight here into his imminent return. But the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 25, I believe, has incredible potency for our Christian living right here and now. And we're about to unpack that tonight. So I want to speak to you on the thought, give me oil in my lamp. Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 25 four different and distinct representations. Firstly, he speaks about the groom. Secondly, he speaks about the 10 bridesmaids. Then he speaks about oil. and then he speaks about lamp. He speaks about 10 bridesmaids, to which there is the delineation. The first five, he coins them as wise. The second five, he coins them as foolish. In ancient parable telling times, storytelling times, they would use two extremes, two diametrically opposed ideas to convey a singular thought. Makes sense to you? And so here, Jesus talks about five wise bridesmaids. Your other translations would call them virgins. Another five that are unwise or foolish. The differentiating factor between these five wise and five foolish bridesmaids was this thing called oil. You following me so far? In the Bible, oil always has always represented the Holy Spirit. From the Old Testament through to the New, the oil, whenever you see oil, it's this earthly representation of the Holy Spirit. Because trying to explain in biblical times, before the Bible was compiled and written, about the Holy Spirit was quite challenging. Because the Holy Spirit is this unseen, divine power and manifestation of God. We can't see it, but we can feel and experience it. Makes sense to you? And so the Bible uses oil to describe or to explain this Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit, don't you? It's like wind. You can't see wind, but you can see its effects. And when there is a strong wind, things in your backyard get overturned and stuff. You know, you can see, you can feel the effects of strong wind and messes up your backyard. Things get overturned. Even dogs have the good sense to stick their heads out of cars to feel the wind in their face. Even dogs understand that even though you can't see something, it doesn't mean you can't feel something. And so here in the Bible, the word oil is used to describe often the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. It's synonymous with the word anointing, meaning to be filled from head to toe. King David writes in the 23rd Psalm that he, being God, anoints my head with oil, or the power of the Holy Spirit. It's this endowment of signs and wonders and miraculous and healing and all of those wonderful, beautiful things. And so here in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks. It's red letters, and he talks about the parable. And he uses four representations. Firstly, the groom to signify himself. And then he talks about the bridesmaids or the virgins to signify the church or you and I as believers. Makes sense to you? And then he talks about oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about lamps. Lamps represent the evidence of Christian living. How do we know that? 20 chapters earlier than that, Matthew chapter 5, he actually says this: you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. And on it goes. And it says, let your light so shine before men. It's this whole idea of, obviously, we're not physical lamps, but it's the metaphor of the evidence of Christian living. Yeah. And so here Jesus, in Matthew chapter 25, gathers all his 12 disciples together. This conversation was not made for the crowd. This conversation in Matthew chapter 25 was entirely for the disciples. So what I'm about to preach tonight is for disciple ears only. And so Jesus gathers his disciples and he talks to them about the groom, Jesus himself, talks to them about bridesmaids, them, the church, believers, disciples, talks to them about oil being the Holy Spirit, and then talks to them about lamp, or the lamps, the evidence of Christian living. Here is the crux, the truth that we want to launch from today, is that so many of us want our lamps to burn bright, but we don't prioritize getting oil. We sing the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Got the jig and all that. I'm not jigging all that well today because I actually pulled a muscle in my back. My wife's been training me, and I have lost my usual cat-like agility, so I'm going to be moving a little bit slowly tonight. But you know, we do the jig and all of that, we sing this light of mine, and we know that God has called us to shine our lights. We talk about shining the light and all of those sorts of things. But Jesus delineates between the lamp and the oil, because you need to understand that we can want to shine the light all as much as we want, but we are no use unless we get oil. And here is the truth of Matthew chapter 25. The way that Jesus tells it is that oil is actually readily available for everyone. All 10 bridesmaids had equal access to oil. Oil is readily available to everyone, but everyone's responsible for getting their own oil. Come on, are you out there? Oil is readily available for you and it's readily available for me. But we are all personally responsible for getting our own oil. About 2 months ago, it is my very strong conviction, but 2 months ago, I started to have this conversation with our church about conferences coming up, and you need to make sure that you prioritize your encounter with God. You need to get filled. You need a word from God. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe that for myself. I began to have that conversation with our Phnom Penh campus as well, which incidentally, in 5 days' time, I'm going to have the Prophesy conference in Phnom Penh. They're actually leading the way for us. Some of our staff are flying up there. All our college students are already up there facilitating that. Some of our prayer teams are going up there. And I began to have that conversation with people, challenging people to pay for the registration, to make time in their diaries and in their schedules to have an encounter with Jesus, to be filled by Him, to be touched by God, and all of those sorts of things. And I began to really just trumpet that reality. The Holy Spirit actually said to me, well, that's all well and good, but what about you? To which I retorted, because I always have a comeback when it comes to these conversations with the Holy Spirit, because I know that he'll throw something at me, so I'm always ready. And I said, well, I was actually the first to register for our own conference. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Paid full price and everything, even though it was early bird. It's awesome. To which the Holy Spirit said, no, I'm not talking about the conference that you're promoting. I'm talking about being filled with an encounter with me. What have you done to prioritize that? Wow. And so about 3 weeks ago, I paid to fly to another state and paid for our own accommodation and registered just to go to some random conference that was in Adelaide. Why would you go to Adelaide? But the Lord was just leading me there. And you know, it was the conference was called Holy Spirit Conference. And in those 2 days that I was there, I spent more time responding to altar calls that I didn't make an appeal for. I spent more time on the carpet allowing men of God to pray for me, to fill me. And it wasn't like I needed a word from God. I just needed a touch from God. That was where I was at. And it's in that space that I began to fully understand Matthew chapter 25, that we are actually all personally responsible for getting our own oil. We are all personally responsible for getting our own oil. The five foolish bridesmaids knocked and said, we're out of oil. Can you give us some? And to which the other five wise bridesmaids said, go and get your own. And this is the harsh reality of it, but it's so powerful if you get a hold of it. You actually can't have someone else's oil. You need to get your own. You can shine your light, but you can't share your oil. The truth of Matthew chapter 25 tells us that we have to take responsibility for our own oil. No one can be delegated the task of getting oil for us. I can't say to Kristen, I'm going to delegate to you. Can you fly to Adelaide? Get a touch from God for me. Would you do that? Yeah. I can't say to Rick, can you pray for me on my behalf and get filled with the Holy Spirit? Go and have your own devotion, and that way we can count like I've done it myself because you're on my staff and I pay you to do it. I can't do that. Come on, I don't know how many times I've heard husbands say that, oh, my wife does enough praying for both of us. Dude. She prays that hard because she's married to you. You just haven't figured it out yet. I can't say that I can have secondhand oil, because the Bible tells us, Jesus was trying to convey to us that I'm responsible for my own oil. I can't say, oh, I've got a praying mom, so I'll be right. My dad's a pastor, I'll be fantastic. Or my uncle runs some Bible study in the Presbyterian Church in Narragin. Right, I'll be good. I'm Asian, I don't have any relatives in Narragin. Don't worry about that. It was just an example. But I can't use those things to say that, okay, just because someone else is doing it on my behalf, I'll be right. What I want to submit to you today is that you need to be able to say yourself, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. We are all responsible for our own oil. Am I preaching to a church this afternoon? They knocked frantically and said, we're running out of oil. Can you spare us some? To which the other five wise bridesmaids said this phrase to them, interesting phrase. We cannot give you our oil. You need to go and buy some yourself. Yeah. I've heard this preached so poorly in years gone by. There is no monetary. Jesus is not talking about pricing up the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was saying there is a cost that you need to pay yourself for the encounter. There is a cost, and it's going to cost you your convenience. Yeah. is going to cost you your routines. It's going to cost you your own comfort zone. It's going to cost you your Netflix nights at home. Come on, are you out there? It's going to cost you something. There's no price tag on the gospel, but it is a cost to something in our own heart. To which the five wise bridesmaids said, we can only shine our light. We can't give you our oil. You need to go and get your own oil. Five bridesmaids were wise, five were foolish. All 10 had equal access to oil. The difference was not, see, the issue here was not accessibility of oil. It's not like five wise bridesmaids just got it easier. They just had it easier. They could access oil more than the other five. No, no, no. It was not an accessibility of oil issue, but a willingness of heart issue. That was what Jesus was touching in Matthew chapter 25. Five wise bridesmaids were willing. The other five foolish bridesmaids were unwilling to access what was equally accessible to them all. Can I go a little bit deeper? Oftentimes, we confuse the lamp with the oil. It is the genius of Jesus in this instance to have four distinct representations. The groom being himself. The bridesmaids being the disciples. The conversation he's having with them, the church. The oil being the Holy Spirit. And the lamp being evidence of Christian living. And for so long, whenever we've run out of, or maybe we're in seasons, well, we feel like we are no longer burning bright. We used to burn bright, but now we're burning out. How many of you have been in that space? Yeah. We used to shine a light for Jesus, but now our faith is fading. We face some challenges. When we confuse the oil with a lamp, we're going to keep pursuing shinier lamps when we no longer are burning bright. When we keep confusing oil with lamps, we're going to run around our seasons in life where we feel like, because we know the Bible says you need to shine your light. You know, your light so shine before men. We read all of those things. But when we confuse the oil with a lamp, we're going to be forced into a lifestyle of constantly trying to polish our lamps. Oh, no, the pastor's coming to see me. Oh. We got Connect tonight at our place. I'm rostered to serve. Or even worse, we check on Instagram and look at other people's lamps. And we go, oh, wow, look at them. We're kind of the same age, but look at what they're doing. And we get discontented with our lamps. And we walk around an entire Christian life trying to upgrade our lamps. And so we go, oh, I'm not burning so bright anymore. My lamp's just dying out. Maybe I'll try Kids Church. And after a while, we actually realize that Kid Church means dealing with kids. That's not very bright, is it? Not burning bright anymore. Maybe I'll join Team Black. That'll be awesome. I'll join Team Black. After about 1 week, I realized, Team Black actually operates in the dark. That's not much helping me at all. And so, okay, we're gonna try the worship leading lamp. Can't sing for peanuts, but it's my time to shine, brother. It's awesome. And no matter where we go, we jump from ministry to ministry, from church to church, from friendship to friendship, thinking that we've got a lamp crisis. I want to submit to you, the Australian church doesn't have a lamp crisis. We've got an oil crisis. Stop trying to polish your lamp. Just get more oil. Stop trying to swap out your lamp. Compare your lamp with somebody else. Oh, look at that church's lamp. Look at, oh, wow, they got that name for the conference for their lamp. We should have, come on, are you out there? I just want to be part of a church that says, give me oil in my lamp. Would you keep me burning? If you want to burn long and you want to burn bright, don't worry about your lamp. Get your oil. Because if you've got oil, no one's going to care about the brand of your lamp. You're just going to keep burning. When you got oil in your lamp, no one's going to care about when you bought your lamp or how shiny your lamp is. No one's going to stop the light from shining. I pretty much just destroyed this lamp. Come on, if that blesses you tonight, would you give Jesus a big shout of praise? Don't confuse an oil crisis with a lamp crisis. For so long, we've been obsessing over how can we get a better lamp? Can we shiny it up like that? Can we advertise it like that? Let's just get more oil. Let me just rattle off some names for you. Names of ordinary men and women. People just like you and just like me. Smith Wigglesworth, John Wesley, Amy Semple McPherson, Charles Finney, Evan Roberts, William Booth, Dwight L. Moody, Hudson Taylor, John G. Lake, Charles Spurgeon, Catherine Kuhlman, Evan Roberts, C.L. Greenwood, Steve Hill. The list goes on and on. History records these ordinary men and women as revivalists, not because they've got thousands of Instagram followers or they've got a really funky Insta story going on right now, but boy, they've had amazing levels of oil. Ordinary men, ordinary women, to which God decided that he was going to visit revival upon their lifetime and in their day, not because they had shiny lamps, but because they just lived with God. Give me oil in my lamp. Would you keep me burning? Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. In the 1860s, in the midst of an Irish revival, a man by the name of Brownlow North, an Irishman, preached in the largest church in the midst of an Irish revival of 12,000 people. In the time, it was unheard of in Ireland. 12,000 people. And as much as I searched on Google, I couldn't find a single person that complained the church was too big. This was 1860. One of his contemporaries in 1859, a pastor by the name of, what is your name? James Bain, said this: our Sabbath or Sunday services are continuous from 9 in the morning until 10 at night. We are engaged from 9 to 12 in the morning in prayer meetings for the young, youth prayer meetings, 1859. From 12 to 2 in public service, from 2 to 4 in prayer meetings, from 5 to 8 in the evening service, and then after that, in our evening prayer meeting, they just prayed from 8 onwards after the last service. And this was in 1859. I can tell you now, they didn't have a fantastic website, but they had incredible oil. I want to be part of a church that is so full of oil. So full of oil. That we just continuously say, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. If you read Matthew chapter 25, you would be just as challenged as I am to note that actually all 10 bridesmaids had oil. All 10 of them actually had oil. They started off with oil. What made 5 of those bridesmaids be called by Jesus as wise was the fact that they had extra oil. Yeah. Extra oil. Can I submit to you today that oil levels are not apparent to anyone in times of blessing? We don't really know truly your oil levels in good times. You know what I'm saying? Everyone looks all shiny and hero-like and all oily and stuff like that. When like you lodge a prayer request and like next day, next minute, bang, breakthrough, awesome. Everyone looks like they're full of oil in times of blessing. Where your oil levels are truly revealed, it's when it's the 8th prayer request card and you're still sick. But God, I'm still believing. I'm still going to burn. I'm still going to shine for you. You know when your oil levels are truly tested? When it's your 23rd job application this year and you've been rejected again in the 23rd time. That's when your oil levels are revealed. You know when your oil levels are truly revealed? When it's your 3rd relationship breakdown in the last 4 years. Come on. See, the oil levels were revealed that separated the wise from the foolish, not when the bridegroom came straight away, but in an unexpected delay. I'm saying to you tonight that your oil levels, you don't want to be caught out with no oil when times actually hit a snag. And for so long, I've actually lived in this space of, when there's real need, then you see me rocking up at a revival prayer night. Woo! Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm on my knees, begging Jesus. And then when breakthrough comes, fantastic, you don't even see me at all. Instagram, I'm out just hanging out. It's awesome. Life hits a snag. Oh, Jesus, help me. Why can't we just live every day with a lifestyle that says, would you just give me oil in my lamp? Would you keep me burning? I don't just want enough oil. I want extra oil. Maybe God is leading you somewhere in some season in your life where you don't, where you need more than just enough oil to get by, where you actually need extra oil. Come on, how many of you want extra oil? How many of you are so sick of just enough oil just to get by and enough oil just for when things, not enough oil for when the challenging times come, but just enough oil when just enough for things to go right. I want to be that man or woman of God. I might not have a shiny lamp. I might not be Insta famous. But I want to stand before God one day. Yeah. And it's for him to say, Ken, you had oil. Yeah. You were hungry for oil. Yeah. You were hungry to pursue the oil. Come on, are you out there? Matthew 25, verse 4, very telling. It says, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. I want to be part of a church that understands that we need to take along extra oil. We need to take along extra oil into our homes. We need to take along extra oil into our marriages. We need to take along extra oil into parenting. We need to take along extra oil into workplaces. Come on, are you out there? You know, we can't share our oil, but we can shine bright. And I don't want to fizzle out when times get tough. When maybe the answer to a prayer is tarry, I don't want to be found out to have had no oil. Can I go a little deeper with you? When Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 25, he uses the whole analogy of a marriage feast. I actually like that because the early hearers understood what this meant. It spoke of preparation. When you know that you're getting married, trust me, you're preparing. Your whole life is about preparation. And so Jesus speaks about this marriage feast, this understanding of preparation. See, you only prepare when you have a conviction of your commitment to something. You know, when you know that you're going to have a child, your first child, there's all that preparation that goes, your whole life is turned upside down because you're preparing for what you have a conviction that you've committed to raising this kid. You've now conceived. Makes sense to you. And so for so many of us, we expect all of the benefits of this relationship with God without actually making a commitment to it. Foolishness is expecting all of the benefits of a relationship without actually committing to the relationship. I think it's the mentality of the 21st century church sometimes that we want all of the benefits with very little of the commitment. Imagine this, and I've checked this with my wife, and she's okay with me making this analogy. It is not real life. It is an analogy. You get the best of me, 4 p.m. You just need to know that. Imagine this, right? The best of my money, the best of my dressing, the best of my grooming, the best of my behaviors, the best of my attitudes are reserved for other women other than Chrissy. And then occasionally, I might come home to her and still expect her to give me the full benefits of being my wife. You guys are getting real quiet because some of you are thinking, good luck with that, joker. She will never stand for that. How many of you? Hey, yeah. Some of you are cringing, right? And that is sometimes how I treat God. I want the full benefits of this relationship, but only an occasional commitment. I expect infinitely more in this relationship, but I give you the finitely mediocre when it comes to my commitment. Come on, are you out there? This is not a guilt trip or anything like that. I'm just saying this is discipleship. We have to start valuing what God has given us. Come on, are you out there? The groom has prepared everything for us. We all want to get to the wedding feast. We all want to get in, enjoy the full benefits of the banquet, but many of us are going to miss out on the full benefits of it if we keep giving God a finitely mediocre commitment to this relationship. Passion is wasted if it's not reciprocated. What Jesus was speaking to us about is that the groom comes to visit upon us because of his grace. None of those bridesmaids were deserving. That's why they were excited because the groom was coming. It was a picture of the relationship that we have with Jesus. He rends heaven open to come to us. And he's giving us this grace. All he's asking from us is that will you not take this for granted and value what I have given to you. Come on, are you out there? Because it is quite possible to waste grace. We waste what we treat as common. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But grace has made me what I am. In other words, he's great. He understands the value of what Jesus did for him. Musicians, you can join me. And it says this. And his grace to me was not wasted. Therefore, I worked harder than all the other apostles. But it was not I, really. It was God's grace that was with me. What was Paul saying? Paul's saying that I understand this grace. I understand its value and it's not wasted on me. Therefore, I worked harder in serving. I worked harder in leaning in. I worked harder on my commitment to the Lord than all the other apostles. This is not a works theology. This is a value theology. Do you understand that? It's not a works theology. It's a value understanding. Little wonder Hebrews 11 verse 6, The writer of Hebrews says this. He is a rewarder of those who occasionally seek him. Does it say that? He is a rewarder of those who just maybe casually, every now and then, might lean in and pray. He says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is not a work sermon. It is a value sermon. It is the same conversation that God would have to you whenever he's trying to speak to you about something that is intrinsically valuable for your life. We waste what we feel is common, like food. We have so much of it. We'll eat till we're almost beyond full and then like push the plate away with like half the food on it and the waitress comes and clears it. Do you know that that doesn't happen in most parts of the world? Because we just have so much of it. We waste water because we feel like we've got so much of it. And it's quite possible for us. Maybe Paul was touching on something in 1 Corinthians 15. It is possible for us to waste grace. Yeah. But I can tell you now, let's be a church. Every opportunity that we got to come to a prayer meeting, to be around other people that are of faith. Come on, let's get oil. Come on. Every opportunity that we have to encounter him. Come on. Hey, I want to be part of a church that understands the value of what it is to live in the headspace of give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, because if we don't, we're going to keep wanting to polish our lamps, looking for a better lamp, pretending to shine a little brighter. But at the end of our lives, we're not going to be held responsible for how shiny our lamps are, but how much oil we receive. Would you stand to your feet right across this room?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.